Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. So we're continuing with the reading, 7th canto, chapter 3rd, text 32. Tvataha param na param api anejar ejak cha kinchid vyatiriktam asti vidyaha kalas te tanavas cha sarva iranyagarbho asi brihat tri pristaha tvata param nara param apyanejad Tvata param na param apyanejad. Ejak cha kinchit vyatiriktam asti. Ejak cha kinchit vyatiriktam asti. Vidyakaraste tanavascha sarvam. Vidyakalaste tanavascha sarva. Iranyagarbho si brihati pristaha. Iranyagarbho si brihati pristaha. Tvata param na param apyanejat. Ejak cha kinchit. Vyatiriktam asti. Vidyakalaste tanavascha sarva. Iranyagarbho si brihati pristaha. Others chant. Yacha kinchi vyati kirtam asti. Vyakalaste tanavascha sarva. Iranyagarbho si brihati prista. Thank you. Tata param na param apyaneyat. Yacha kinchi vyati riktam asti. Tanavascha sarva. Iranyagarbho si brihati prista. Vaishnavis. Tata param na param apyaneya. Yacha kinchir vyati riktam asti. Vidyakalaste tanavascha sarva. Iranyagarbho si brihati prista. Tvata param na param apyaneya. Akta kinchit vyadikirtam asti. Vidyakaraste tanavacha sarva. Hiranya garbo sibrihati prista. Anyone else? More means Twataha. From you. Param. Higher. Na. Not. Aparam. Lower. Api. Even. Anejat. Not moving. Ejat. Moving. Cha. And. Kinchit. Anything. Vyatiriktam. Separate. Asti. There is. Vidya. Knowledge. Kalaha. Its parts. Te. Of you. Tanavaha. Features of the body. Cha. And. Sarvaha, all. Hiranyagarbha, the one who keeps the universe within his abdomen. Asi, you are. Brihat, greater than the greatest. Tripristaha, transcendental to the three modes of material nature. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. There is nothing separate from you, whether it be better or lower, stationary or moving. The knowledge derived from the Vedic literatures, like the Upanishads, and from all the sublimes of the original Vedic knowledge, form your external body. You are Hiranyagarbha, the reservoir of the universe. But nonetheless, being situated as the supreme controller, you are transcendental to the material world, which consists of the three modes of material nature. Please repeat. There is nothing separate from you, whether it be better or lower, stationary or moving. The knowledge derived from the Vedic literatures, like the Upanishads, and from all the sublimits of the original Vedic knowledge, form your external body. You are Hiranyagarbha, the reservoir of the universe. But nonetheless, being situated as the supreme controller, you are transcendental to the material world, which consists of three modes of material nature. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The word param means the supreme cause, and aparam means the effect. The supreme cause is the supreme personality of Godhead, and the effect is material nature. The living entities, both moving and non-moving, are controlled by the Vedic instructions in art and science. And therefore, they are all expansions of the external energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the center of the Supersoul. The Brahmandas, the universes, exist during the duration of a breath of the Supreme Lord. Yasaika nivasitam kalam atavalam yajivanti loma vilaya yagarandana taha. Thus, they are also within the womb of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mahavishnu. Nothing, therefore, is separate from the Supreme Lord. This is the philosophy of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. Read the sloka again. Tvata paramna paramapyane ejat ejakcha kinchit vyarikirtamasti vidyakalaste tanavacha sarvam iranyagarbho sibrihati pristam. There is nothing separate from you, whether it is better or lower, stationary or moving. The knowledge derived from the Vedic literature, like the Upanishads, and from all the sublimits of the original Vedic knowledge, form your external body. You are Hiranyagarbha, the reservoir of the universe. But nonetheless, being situated as the supreme controller, you are transcendental to the material world, which consists of the three modes of material nature. I'm sorry, Prabhu, that you're stuck with me. I tried to change my time with His Holiness, but he had other calls, so please bear with me. Okay. So here we're continuing reading the prayers of Hiranyakashipu, that actually these prayers are meant for Krishna, Vishnu, but because he's so envious of Vishnu, he wants to kind of butter up Brahma, kind of convince him, make him feel that he's the supreme, so he can get what he wants from him. That's typical from the materialistic person, that he, when he wants to get something from you, he glorifies you or tells you many different things just to get you to give him what he wants. So even the scripture says that when somebody over-glorifies you, he might be actually sarcastically offending you. Because in this case, all these descriptions, they're actually meant for Vishnu. Because he is the origin of everything. He's Sarva Karana Karanam. Everything emanates from him. So I'd like to read another verse later on where Prahlad Maharaj kind of answers back to all these things. And this is very famous. I'm sure very, another bodies know it. Matirna Krishna parato svatova mito vipadyeta griha vratanam aranta govir visatam tamesham puna puna charvita charvananam. Prahlad Maharaj replied, because of their uncontrolled senses, persons too addicted to materialistic life make progress toward hellish conditions and repeatedly chew which has been already chewed. Their inclinations toward Krishna are never aroused, either by the instructions of others, by their own efforts, or by a combination of both. Purport. In this verse, the words Matirna Krishna refer to devotional service rendered to Krishna. So-called politicians, like Hiranyakashipu, you could say he's a politician. Erudite scholars and philosophers who read Bhagavad Gita, they try to twist some meaning from it to suit their material purposes. But their misunderstanding of Krishna will not yield them any profit. Because such politicians, philosophers, and scholars are interested in using Bhagavad Gita as a vehicle for adjusting things materially. For them, constant thought of Krishna or Krishna consciousness is impossible. Matirna Krishna. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 18:55, Bhakti Amam Abhijanati. Only through devotional service can one understand Krishna as he is. So in other words, even if you perform a lot of austerities and you become very, very renounced, if you don't recognize that Krishna, Vishnu, that he is, all the sacrifices are meant to please him, then you won't understand Krishna. You won't achieve the result of becoming detached. You'll become too puffed up. Just like Hiranyakashipu, even though he has so much power, you know, in the class yesterday, Maharaj was saying that he could control the temperature. If he wanted 73 degrees, he could just say it like that, and the temperature will be controlled. But he was too puffed up. He was envious. And we learn from the Bhagavatam that that's one of the so-called qualities that we have to avoid, enviousness, when you're envy. Vidmatsaranam. Also, Krishna told Arjuna, because you're not envious, I'm going to instruct this science to you. So as devotees, we have to try to strive for that, to see everybody as part and parcel of Krishna, and we want to be servants of the servants. And that way we're protected. We don't think, oh, I'm so important. I know so many austerities, or I've been chanting for so many years, or I know so many slokas. But actually, we should remember that we are the servants of the servants. Today, we're very fortunate because we're celebrating the disappearance day of Sangha Goswami, that he was the personification of humility, Sri Gopala Bhatta Goswami. As a matter of fact, we don't hear from him in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, because when Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami was asking for permission and blessings from the different Goswamis, Upalavata Goswami said, yes, I'll give you my benedictions, my blessings, but don't mention my name. Don't talk about me. But anyway, in one sloka on the Adilila, chapter 10, I believe, he mentions the name of Gopalavata Goswami because he is the 47th branch of the tree of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he is a very amazing personality. He was born in South India. And Lord Chaitanya went to his tour to visit South India. Actually, that was the purpose of why he spent Chaturmasya in Sri Rangam, near Sri Rangam, in the house of Venkatavata, because he wanted to bless, he gave the blessings to Gopalavata Goswami. Even though he was only no more than 6 to 7 years old, but he was so lucky that he was massaging the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu every day. And this was in the 1500s. He was born in 1503, and he lived for 75 years. When Lord Chaitanya left, after instructing, converting Venkatavata and Prabhudananda Saraswati and their other brother, was the name Tirumala? Tiru? He had a third brother, Prabhudananda. I think it was Tirumala. They were worshippers of Lakshmi Narayan, but Lord Chaitanya spent that time just to make him Vaishnavas. And they turned to worship Radha and Krishna. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was leaving, Gopalavata was in tears. He didn't want to let him go. He was holding to his feet. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, don't worry, you'll have my darshan again. We'll see again. And in one dream, Gopalavata Goswami saw all the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Bengal as a householder, because he couldn't bear the sight of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a sannyasi. So he was blessed by Lord Chaitanya. He could see everything that happened in there. So he stayed home, and then he was instructed by his uncle, Prabhudananda Saraswati. He actually took initiation from him. And after Venkatavata and his wife were older, they gave his blessings. They were about to pass from this world. So Gopalavata Goswami went to Vrindavan. And in the way he was traveling, obviously he was very happy. He went to Vrindavan, he met Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. As soon as he reached there, Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami, they sent a letter to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was so happy that he was there and gave him a specific instruction that please adopt him as your younger brother. So he was so lucky to be serving them, but he was so intelligent. He helped Sanatana Goswami to edit the Hari Bhakti Vilas and also the Satsandarbha Jiva Goswami. And he published his own book, the Sat Kriya Saradipika. The book was translated in Mayapur by the Bhaktivedanta Academy, the worship. That book is essential for anyone who wants to worship the deities. Is very, very, as a fact, it's explained that Radha Raman, okay, I'm jumping. Anyway, Gopalavata Goswami then went in pilgrimage to the Mandaki River, and he was taking bath, and with his lota, he put the lota inside, and when he brought it out, 12 sagaram shilas were caught inside the lota. And he didn't want to have the responsibility to worship them, so he put them kindly back again. And he kept doing his puja. And again, he dipped the lota inside. And the same 12 sagaram shilas came back in the lota. And he still was nervous. He put him back. And the third time happens, that way he surrendered. He said, okay, my dear Lord, you want me to worship you as these forms? So he took those 12 sagaram shilas in his chest. Anywhere he went, he worshiped them. So when he went back to Vrindavan, there used to be the tradition that the rich man will find some saint, some sadhu, and sponsor him. So there was a rich man who wanted to sponsor Gopalavata Goswami. So he was providing so many different paraphernalia to worship the Sagaram Shilas. But he couldn't use them all because the Sagaram Shilas, you know, they're nice, small, round, but you cannot dress them with fully clothes. There's so many things you cannot do to them. So So he was lamenting, and he told the rich man, take him back, I don't need him. But he said, I already gave to you, you have to keep. So one night he was lamenting like that, he went to sleep and left all the Salagram Shilas in a basket and covered them. Next morning when he went to get him out, to bathe him and do his morning rituals, he saw that the cover of the basket was open and something was sticking out. He first thought maybe a cobra went inside. So he carefully opened it. But to his surprise, that there was only 11 shilas and one form of Krishna, Radha Raman, with three bending form. So he started worshipping it. And that's where he wrote that book, the Satkriya Saradipika, to make sure that everybody will follow the deity worship in that higher standard. And I don't know if you ever visited that temple in Vrindavan, the Radharaman temple, but it's an amazing place, you know, how they worship the deities. And in the appearance day, they bring the deity out and they bathe it in front. You can even go into YouTube and just go Radharaman appearance and you will see how they bathe him. So he was, he lived for 40 more years. In 45 more years. So he passed away when he was 75. So he spent 45 years in Vrindavan just preaching and worshiping the deities. And he had two amazing disciples. Anybody knows who these disciples were? Of Gopalavata? Srinivasacharya was his main disciple. Actually, Srinivasacharya got enthused by his guru to take the books to Bengal, to start the first traveling Sankirtan, taking the books of the Goswamis to Bengal. And the other one was Gopinatha Pujari, that he established the worship of Radha Raman in Vrindavan to this day. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so fond of Gopalavata Goswami that he sent them some personal items, like his wooden seat, is still there, and a piece of cloth, I think, and something else, Brilu, I don't know what exactly it is. But he sent three items to Gopalavata Goswami, and they still have him in the temple. And sometimes in special occasions, they bring him out so people can take darshan. So we're very fortunate to belong to this Sampradaya, where we have such stalwarts like Gopalavata Goswami, that he dedicated his life since he was a child, 6 years old, just like Prahlad Maharaj. Who will think of Krishna or God when you're that young? You just want to play. You just want to have fun. But he only wanted to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He wanted to massage his feet. He wanted to do errands for him. And so that's why Lord Chaitanya spent that time there. And now if you allow me, I'd like to read some description of Gopalavata that is very sweet. And it's in this book that I've been reading to the devotees in the morning, the Bhakti Ratnakara. And here, Nara Hari Jagavarti, he describes very beautiful. It says, sometimes Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will go to meet his devotees, and other times the devotees will go to meet him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met Sri Gopalavata in South India. I shall summarize the history of the Bhatta family. Sri Gopalavata was the son of Sri Venkatabhatta. Sri Venkatabhatta lived in the south and was a renowned Brahmana scholar of all the Shastras. Trimala, that was the name of the third brother. Trimala, Venkata and Srila Prabodhananda were the three brothers of whom Sri Gaurachandra was the very life and soul. Formerly, they were worshippers of Sri Lakshmi Narayan, but by the favor of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they later became great devotees of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. During his visit to the south, Mahaprabhu Gaura Hari spent 4 happy months in the house of the Bhattas. In the book, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a beautiful description of the Lord's southern tour. There was no mention of Gopalavata in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, but his family is mentioned. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 9:82 and 83, there is mention of a Vaishnava named Sri Venkatabhatta, who respectfully invited Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his house. He washed the feet of the Lord and drank the water with all the members of his family. It is said that Gopala, the son of Venkata, became ecstatically emotional by drinking that water. Although he tried to control his body, he shivered in ecstatic love. Gopala was a beautiful young man whose complexion was as bright as a golden champaka flower. His lotus-like face had large eyes and eyebrows, and his nose and forehead bore the bright tilak of the Vaishnavas. How beautiful were his ears and neck. How beautiful were his hands, chest, and thin waist. How beautiful were his calves, knees, and reddish feet. He wore bright clothes and was decorated with many ornaments. Everyone was fascinated by his ever-increasing beauty. Having received Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's as his life and soul, Gopala engaged himself most gladly in the Lord's service. I worship Sri Gopala Vata Prabhu, who was the best of all the Brahmanas, and was engaged with utmost sincerity in the service of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I am unable to describe how Gaura Hari favored Sri Gopala Vata. Nevertheless, I shall attempt to describe the character of Gopala, who was always engaged in the service of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Gopala Vata was not satisfied to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as an ascetic. He lamented privately, addressing Providence in a choked voice, "Oh Providence, why was I born in this distant place? Why have you forced me to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the dress of an ascetic and deprived me from observing his pastimes in Nadia? How cruel you are to allow him the life of a sannyasi when I long to see him in Brajendra, as Brajendra Nandana, the Lord of Sri Radhika." Lamenting in this way, Gopala Vata wept like a madman and breathed a heavy sigh as hot as fire. Forgiving Providence, Gopala lamented that his bad fortune was his own fault. Having spent himself in lamentation, Gopala remained reticent. Yet, Gaura Hari could understand the state of his mind. When Gopala fell asleep, the Lord of Navadvipa appeared to him in a dream. Lord Gaura Sundara was strolling through the streets of Navadvipa, and he was there with him, Nityananda and Advaita. He took him lovingly in their arms, but when they were about to tell him something, he woke up. Gopala looked around in bewilderment, and then went impatiently to find Sri Gaura. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was delighted and revealed himself in the form of a cowboy with a blue complexion. The divine beauty remained but in a few moments. The blue complexion turned golden. The glow of Gaura Sundara's beauty enchanted the universe. How beautiful was the hair that curled across his shoulders. His forehead was decorated by Vaishnava tilak. His eyebrows were dramatically raised, and his magnificent glance stole the hearts of all the ladies. His beautiful face defeated the pride of the autumn moon, and his smile showered nectar. His beautiful dhoti was wrapped with three folds and decorated with various ornaments. His gestures and postures were fascinating to see. The garland of malati flowers hanging around Imai's neck enchanted Gopala. Gopala Vata fell at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and again looked at his face with expectation. But the Lord had resumed his form as a sannyasi. Mahaprabhu Gaura Chandra pacified Gopala Vata and gave him direct instructions. He ordered him to go to Vrindavan as soon as possible, because there he would meet two valuable jewels, Rupa and Sanatan. "Tell them about my desires," said Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. "In Vrindavan, you will get many disciples from all over the world." Having instructed Gopala Vata, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took him in his lap and soaked his body with tears from his eyes. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised Gopala Vata to keep his instructions confidential and not discuss them with anyone. Gopala Vata was very pleased to follow this instruction. Sri Venkata Vata was satisfied to see the sincerity with which Gopala Vata served Sri Gauranga. He dedicated his son to the gracious lotus feet of Gaura Chandra and became truly happy. Thereafter, Gopala Vata spent his days and nights with Sri Gaura Hari. The thought that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would leave their house after 4 months made the three brothers morose. Trimala, Venkata, and Sri Prabodhananda wonder how they could spend their days without Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. "Who will joke with us?" they ask each other. "Who will accompany us while we bathe in the river Kaveri? who will perform sankirtan in the temple of Ranganath, and who will give worthless fellows like us the gem of devotion. Without Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's presence, these crowds will disperse, and the holy place will be vacant. Through tears streamed silently down their faces, they did not disclose their lamentations to anyone. At the end of the 4 months, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually left their house, they cried out in despair. As the Lord left their house, the Bhattas fell onto the ground at his lotus feet. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pacified the three brothers by embracing them affectionately. After pacifying Gopala Bhatta, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued his tour of South India. Any questions? So I think we should meditate on that and ask for the blessings of Gopala Bhatta. Srila Prabhupada recommended that in these auspicious days, we should pray to those Vaishnavas to get their blessings so we can get a little taste in our devotional service and we can keep on helping Srila Prabhupada and all the previous acharyas pushing and preaching this Krishna consciousness movement. Because there's a lot of opposition, there's a lot of modern day Hiranyakashipus out there, and we have to fight with them, we have to give them this knowledge. They're just confused, they don't know the real purpose of life. So, in that note, any other questions? Yes. Actually, better than explain it, trying to explain it, I can read it. I know there's I have it right here. I was hoping somebody will ask for it. Okay. Slowly, yes. Okay, sorry. Okay, here it is. Even though he was satisfied with Venkata Bhatta and his family service, the Lord observed that Venkata had an element of pride in his object of worship. He believed that his worshipable deity, Lakshmi Narayan, was the supreme worshipable object, and that Narayan was the source of all other incarnations, including Krishna, Rama, and Nrisimha. His reasoning was that Narayan is never born, he's Aja, while Krishna and Rama take birth in the world. He thus thought, Mahaprabhu worships Krishna, the incarnation of Narayan, while we worship Narayan, the source of all incarnations. As Madhusudan is the destroyer of false pride, Mahaprabhu finally decided one day that he would do so for Venkata. He asked him in a mild, humor, witty tone, Venkata, I hear that no one is equal in opulence to your Lord Narayan. The same is true for your worshipable goddess Lakshmi Devi. On the other hand, the object of my worship, Krishna, has no opulences of any kind. He wears garlands of wild forest flowers and uses peacock feathers for decoration. He is the son of Nanda Gopa and spends his day grazing the cows with the other cowboys. My worshipful goddess, the gopis, are also nothing but poor coward girls. I wonder, therefore, why your worshipful Lakshmi Devi came to Vrindavan to perform austerities in the hope of gaining Krishna's company in the rasa dance. Venkata immediately answered, what's wrong with that? Radha's beloved Krishna is none different from Lakshmi Devi, husband Narayan. And he quoted a verse, Sirantatas tu abedepi Shrisa Krishna sarupayo Rasa so Krishna yete Krishna Krishna rupan esara sastiti. So according to theological doctrine, Krishna and the husband of Lakshmi are identical in essence. The form of Krishna is superior when analyzed from the point of view of divine sentiment. This is the conclusion based on the analysis of divine sentiment. Unquote. Since the divine sentiment in Krishna is superior, there is no fault if Lakshmi Devi chooses to seek his association and performs austerities to that end. Mahaprabhu answered, I am not saying that there is any fault. I agree that from the transcendental point of view, Krishna and Narayan are identical. The difference between them is based on the variety of rasa transcendental taste of mood. When the Lord performs pastimes of opulence, he is Narayan. When he performs pastimes of sweetness, he is Krishna. She who is Radha in Krishna's pastimes is Lakshmi in the pastimes of Narayan. Thus, when Lakshmi performs austerities to have the association of Krishna, there is no question of her breaking her vows of fidelity to her husband. Thus, she went to perform those austerities in Vrindavan. But I have another question for you. Why, even after trying so hard through such penances, etc., to enter Krishna Rasa Lila, was Lakshmi still unable to do so? Venkatavata was terribly distressed at being unable to give the Lord an answer. Mahaprabhu observed his distress and tried to pacify him by saying, quote, "You yourself said that Narayan and Krishna are identical from the theological point of view, but that the superiority of Krishna is determined by an analysis of the divine sentiments. Narayan is involved in 2.5 of the 5 principal rasas, whereas Krishna is experienced through the complete manifestations of all the 12 rasas, the 5 principal and the 7 secondary sentiments. Since Narayan Lila is primarily one of opulence and majesty, his principal devotee is Lakshmidev, who also worship him in the appropriate mood of awe and reverence. The same Lakshmi Devi is Radhika in order to heighten the experience of romantic love. Unless one follows in the footsteps of Radha and her expansions, the gopis, who are the repositories of that sentiment, then it is impossible to relish Krishna's sweet qualities." Gotta read that again. "Unless one follows the footsteps of Radha and her expansions, the gopis, who are the repositories of that sentiment, then it is impossible to relish Krishna's sweet qualities. Such are those virtues which are particularly inspiring from the romantic mood of love. The reason for Lakshmi Devi's failure is that she did not follow in the gopis' footsteps, but continued to perform her austerities in the mood of awe and reverence. As a result, she repeatedly found herself in the company of Narayan, and never in that of Krishna. By way of contrast, the Shrutis follow the gopis in the Raga Marga, so we're ultimately able to achieve Krishna's service in the intimate mood. As long as one continues to think of Krishna in the majestic terms as the Lord and Creator of the universe, one cannot possibly worship in the spirit of Raganuga Bhakti. Krishna has one extraordinary characteristic. By his sweetness, he attracts the minds of the entire world. By taking on the mood of the Braja gopis, one can obtain to his lotus feet. The people of Braja have no idea that Krishna is the Lord and Creator of the universe. Some think of him as their son, and even tie him to a mortar, while others take him to be their friend, and they climb on his shoulders. The people of Braja only know him as the son of Nanda, whereas in the attitude of awe and reverence, the devotee does not have a concept of such a relationship to him. One who takes the attitude of a resident of Braja will obtain Krishna as the son of the king of Braja in Vrindavan." This is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. With that, it's very long, keeps going and going. But that's true. Any other question? Yes. Puna Manjari, correct. I forgot to mention that. And the same, yes. No. Yes. Actually, today is a good day to chant the prayer of the Sisko Swamis, which was written by Srinivasacharya, the main disciple of Sri Gopalavata Goswami. So, Sri Gopalavata Goswami, ki! Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, ki! And forgive me. I know you were expecting Maharaj with the...